Brother Frank's doing a good job with the choir. I appreciate it. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 41. We want to read verses 10 through 14. I want to speak to you on the subject, faith that conquers fear. Fear is one of the worst things in the world because it robs us of our peace. It robs us of our power. It robs us of a realization of the presence of God. And God, all through the Bible, more than just about anything else, any other subject, tells us to not be afraid. Every time he appeared to men, it was always fear not. And God wants us to be free from fear. But the only thing that's going to conquer our fear is faith. Stand with me, if you will, for the reading of God's word. Isaiah 41, verses 10 through 14. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you do not leave us in fear. And Lord, you give us your assurance that you will help us. You will strengthen us. You will uphold us. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart and remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. Open our understanding that we may understand your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in this, we see that the faith that we need to conquer fear is commanded to us. I want you to see God's command here in the first part of verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You see, when we are afraid, it is a slander against our God. Because our God has told us he's going to take care of us. He's going to meet every need that we have. And our fear robs him of the glory that he has coming to him. And so God commands us not to be afraid. Now let's look at that command. In John 13, 34 through 35, we find that God's command is a command of charity, is a command of love. Look what he says. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Do you know what destroys love more than anything else? It's fear. When a person has tremendous fear, love is stunted. And so they cannot really love the way that God wants them to love because they do not trust God, and the fear overwhelms their love. God's command is a command of love. And we're going to have to trust God in order to love. You see, we do not have the ability to love in the way that God loves unless God loves through us. And we must open that gate of that love flowing through us so that we're a channel of God's love to others. And it's by trusting God that that can happen. It robs us of all kinds of things when we live in fear. Now I want you to see in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, that it is a command of courage. Courage is a wonderful thing. We do not muster up courage, folks. Courage is the result of faith in God. Let me say that again. Courage is the result of faith in God. If you have faith in God, then you can tackle anything that God brings across your path. And you can be courageous. You do not become courageous just simply by desiring to be courageous. You become courageous by trusting God and his ability to take care of you. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5 says this, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no power that they can do, no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Now notice what he's saying here. He doesn't say, if you trust me, there won't be any problems in your life. He didn't say that, did he? He said, don't fear man who can only kill you. You say, well, that's enough, right? I mean, if they got power to kill me, I need to be afraid. He said, no. Why? Let me explain why you should not be afraid. The worst thing that can happen to a Christian is that the physical body is destroyed, right? And the best day of your life is going to be when that happens. If you're a Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. God has completely saved us. We already have eternal life when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we're just waiting for the day when He invites us home and takes us out of these sinful bodies and brings us into His glorious presence to live with Him forever in a wonderful place. Whatever heaven is, it will be all that the mind of God can imagine and all that the power of God can achieve. I don't know what that's going to be, but it's going to be something. Now, God says, look, you're just here for a little while. This is a temporary dwelling place. He calls us sojourners. We're just here for a little while, and then we're going to live in heaven forever. That's a long time, folks. We don't have long to live down here. He says, don't spend your life down here in fear. Why not? This is the time when we're going to lay up treasures in heaven. Just all the time we've got. Once we leave this world, we have no more opportunity to scale up in heaven. It all has to be done before we leave this planet. And the worst thing you can do as far as laying up treasures in heaven is to live in fear. God says, don't be afraid. Nobody can do more to you than kill you. And I'm going to tell you something else. Nobody will ever kill you until it's your time to go. You are invincible until the appointed time. And that time was appointed before you were ever born. There's not a thing in the world you can do about it. And nobody else can either. So therefore, we don't have to spend our life here in fear. We can just trust God and keep on going. And so when we do that, we then can live in the promise that God gives us along with the command that He will take care of us. There's nothing like having the Creator God of the universe on your side. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody can stand against God. And so when God says, you don't have to be afraid, I got you covered, we can live in peace. All kinds of things come into our lives that are scary, but we've got a God that's in control of all those things. You remember when Lazarus was sick and his sisters were urgent. They were fearful. Our brother's about to die. We've got to get word to Jesus. And if he can just get here in time, you see the urgency in that, the fear in that. And Jesus waited 2 or 3 more days before he ever started toward them. Why? He wanted to show them something. And he wanted to show us something. Lazarus died, and when Jesus got there, he was already buried. The funeral was over, and he'd been in the grave for 3 days. And here comes Jesus. Now, what does Martha say to Jesus? She meets him first. She says, you're 4 days late. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary comes to see him. She says the same thing. We sent the urgent message, and if you had gotten here in time, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, your brother's going to live again. Now, what was the point in all that? I don't know the story as well as I do. He went to the grave. He called Lazarus out of the grave, and here comes Lazarus. Lazarus lived a while longer, and then he died again. What was God's point in all that? God wants us to understand there is no limit to the power of God. It's not just if you get here in time, you can rescue me. It's even if I die, you can rescue me. There's never a time when God is beyond his power to redeem. Any problem that comes into our life, God has absolute control over. Absolute control over. And therefore, there's nothing to fear. I want you to see that his command, therefore, is a command of comfort. Now look what the whole purpose is to comfort us. He says here in 1 John 4:17 and 18, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now listen to what he's saying. I think we can all testify that fear has torment. Amen? There's nothing like fear. When something is on the horizon and we don't know what the outcome is going to be and we're afraid, there's torment in that. The Lord says that perfect love casts out fear. And love is the result of trust. As we trust God and all the promises that he has made to us, that he is unfolding our life before us the way he wants it to be, and all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose, then we can rest in that, and we love him because in all of that, he loves us. And we know that he loves us, and we know that he has everything in mind to do according to his purpose, so that when we get to heaven, we will have a full reward before him. That's what he's working in our lives. And so we can just go through this life trusting God. Somebody said, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. We don't have to know what tomorrow holds. We don't have to worry about what tomorrow holds because God has it all under his control. And so as we realize that, there's tremendous comfort in that. You may be facing something that has you afraid this morning. You may be facing something in your future that you just don't know what it's going to do to you and to those you love. But I want you to know, God is not out of control. He has everything completely under control. And he has told us, I'm going to work this out for your good and my purpose. Trust me. I find great comfort in that. Because God knows what he's doing. And God loves me more than I love myself. He's going to always do that which is best. Sometimes we set our affection on things down here, don't we? God warns us against that. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because the things on the earth are temporary. You know, when I was a kid, life seemed long. But now, it seems like it didn't take me any time to get from there to here. And I suspect it's not going to take very long for me to get from here to heaven. But you know something? There's a tremendous advantage to understanding that, because I know my real life begins when I get home. And so because of that, I don't have to worry about what's going to take place down here. God is going to lay up treasures in heaven by his purpose for me. And I can just walk through this life holding hands with Jesus and trusting him with every problem that comes my way. God loves me, and God loves you. See, the more we understand that, the more fear is going to go away. Most people who are Christians today that I talk to think God is mad at them. Amen? Well, we deserve for God to be mad at us, don't we? The things that we do, the way we live our life, surely God is mad at me. But God is not mad at you. You see, when God looks down from heaven and sees you, what he sees is the blood of Jesus. And he loves all those who honor his son. All those who have put their trust in Jesus are loved by the Father. That's not my opinion. He says that. Now, that moves me to my next point, and that is God's claim. What does God claim? Well, look what he says. Verse 10 through 12. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. You know, when I read that, I'm reminded of the battle when there was 185,000 Syrians surrounding Jerusalem. And they had besieged the city, and they had no food, and they were completely out of food. And God sent the prophet to tell the king that tomorrow there's going to be food, abundant food for Jerusalem. And all the false prophets said, if God would open a window in heaven and dump out the food, it might happen. But in case you hadn't realized, we've got a serious problem here. There's 185,000 men surrounding this city. Anybody tries to get food to us, they're going to kill them. You see, it was an impossible situation. Except for God. Now, God didn't have to do anything. Great thing. He just went to heaven, said, need a volunteer to go down and fight a battle. And I can see 100 million angels raise their hand. You know, no shortage of volunteers. God said, I only need one. There's only 185,000 of them. So here he goes, and he just kills all of them. Every one of them. Now, changes the complexion of things, doesn't it? You see, God claims that he can help us. You say, well, you don't understand the problems that I'm facing. God does. God didn't put any disclaimers here. Did you notice that? He didn't say, now, except for certain problems. No, he said, I'll help you. I got this. I got you covered. You know why? God does not want us afraid. We misrepresent the Lord when we're afraid. When Goliath was challenging the armies of all of Israel and they were hiding in the ditch, we'll make sure that none of them stood up because they might misunderstand that I'm wanting to fight with that big guy. Here comes little David. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who is defying the armies of the living God? Pretty good question, isn't it? What was he saying? He was saying to them, look, why are you afraid? God is on our side. This is not just you against him. This is him against God. If we see our problems through God's eyes, they're very small. I don't care what they are. These things are sent to test us, but God is greater than every problem. You know what the test really is? Can you trust me in this? That's what the test is. It's not, how do you think this is going to come out? It's not, are you willing to go through this? It's, can I handle this in your life? And if you answer that, well, Lord, you can handle anything. Fear's gone. See? And so as we go through life, opportunity after opportunity will be presented to us to answer that question. Can I handle this in your life? And we need to always say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because this is not me against the world. It's the world against God. I'm just along for the ride. Now, God claims to have power in this world. Now, he created this world. Amen. He spoke this world into existence. That's pretty good. Whenever I get worried about something, I remember that. Do you know what would happen if God stopped thinking about this universe? It would dissolve and disappear. He holds it together. Colossians 1:17. By the thoughts of God's mind, this world consists or holds together. God has power. Listen to what he says here in Jeremiah 32, 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? How would you answer that? Nothing. Is there anything too hard for your God? You say, well, if I ever have to face that question, I'll know what the answer is. You're going to face that question tomorrow. You're going to face that question day after tomorrow and the day after that. Is there anything too hard for God? But the way the question is put to you is through something to worry about. Something that seems like it could be hazardous to some part of your existence. And what God is really saying is, I'm the God of all flesh. Is this too hard for me? And we as his people need to affirm that there is nothing too hard for our God. And that will wipe out our fear. Now, he also claims that we are his possession. Do you know that? God has claimed, I am so thankful that God claims me as his. Amen? You see, a lot of people are trying to hold on to God. God's holding on to me. He owns me, lock, stock, and barrel. There's nothing, no part of my life that God does not own. He possesses me. I like that. I find great comfort in that. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How do you do that? By trusting him. You trust him with everything you are. Because he owns you. You say, well, I don't know what he wants to do with me. Why do you care? Remember, he loves you. You may not always agree with what he's doing, but he's always right. God's never, ever been wrong. He's never made a mistake. And he will never act in cruelty. It's always in love. That's his nature. Just as your nature is to sin, his nature is to love. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's his very nature. And so we can trust his love even though we don't understand what he's doing in our life, what he's allowing in our life. We can trust him and we can affirm over and over and over again, I'm thankful to be the possession of God. I know that the power of God will sustain me until he's ready to take me home. And we can just rest in that. Because he has told us that he will protect us. His claim is an ability of protection. He says in Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see how he lays that out for us? He says, don't be anxious with your life. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be afraid. Why? Because God has made a promise of protection. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the reason he says that is so that we may boldly say, I will not fear. Now you can stop that right there. You see, the purpose of God's protection is so that we are not afraid. Look at verse 13, 14 of our text. I want you to see God's comfort. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and my Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, why does he call Israel a worm? It's to help us understand how much of the protection is our responsibility. You see, God understands that we're dust. God understands that we can do nothing. We don't bring anything into the equation. God is our all in all. He is everything. And so he says here, I've got this. I am in control of your life. Have you ever really sat and thought about that? That God has us by the hand. Now the picture here is like you would take one of your children by the hand, a small child, and you lead them around and you take them wherever you want them to go. And you protect them. The reason you hang on to them is so somebody can't snatch them. The reason you hang on to them is so they don't get lost, so they don't get into some kind of trouble. You hang on to their hand because they can't take care of themselves. God says, I got you by the hand. Now, sometimes we forget that. When trouble comes and we can't see God, he still got us by the hand. He's still there. And he says, I will take care of you. And all he asks is that we trust him and not be afraid. A lot of times when we have a child by the hand, what do? They want to do their own thing. They want to get away. They want to run. They want to make their own decisions. You know why that is? Because they feel extremely safe while we have them by the hand. And they say, well, nothing's going to hurt me. Mom or dad don't know what they're doing here. They're just restraining me. They're holding me down. I need some freedom. And if they ever break loose, invariably they get in trouble. They're going to get into something they have no reason to be in. Or they're going to fall down and they're going to skin a knee. They're going to do something that hurts them. And most of the time, they're afraid to come back to us because they know they shouldn't have ever left. But what's our concern? Our concern doesn't change. It's always their well-being. And so if they fall down, they hurt a knee, what do? We bind up the knee, and we get a tighter grip on the hand, and we go on. You see, God wants us to see him that way. He wants to walk with us every day of our life. He wants us to understand that he is there protecting us like a father or a mother protects a child. Now, what are we to God? Well, the first thing we are to God is we're saved sinners. Now, I like that title because I know I'm a sinner and I'm glad I'm saved. Because if it were not for the fact that I'm a saved sinner, I'd be a hell-bound sinner. But because I'm a saved sinner, I know that whenever I fall down, I can run to Jesus. And he'll always bind my wounds and send me on my way, holding me by my hand. Listen to what 1 Timothy 1:15 says. Paul writes to Timothy, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now notice he didn't say who, of whom I was chief. He said, "I am chief." You see, to God, we are saved sinners. We still sin because he did not take us out of this flesh that we're in. One day he will. One day he'll set us free. And we will be absolutely like Jesus because we'll see him as he is. We will not have the old sinful nature to deal with. But for right now, God sees us as saved sinners and he is carrying us along. Now, you say, "Brother Allen, what's your point here?" My point is, you can't mess it up. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more than he loves you this morning. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. His love is not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon him and his nature. I'm glad of that. Because if that were not the case, we would mess it up. But God loves us in spite of who we are. He loves us, and he has commended his love toward us, and he calls us his sons. That's the way God sees us. Listen to what he says here in 1 John 3, the first three verses. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Now, you see, God has already given us sonship. We're not waiting for that. It's not one day when Jesus comes back, we'll be sons of God. We're sons of God right now. It's just well hid in this old earthen vessel. But one of these days, when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring all those that are dead in Christ with him in the cloud, and they're going to come down toward the earth, and then all those that are dead, their bodies are going to pop up out of the ground, and their new body will be a perfect body. And then those of us who are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be just like the ones coming up out of the graves, and we'll go up with the Lord in the air. We'll always be with him after that. You see, we're already the sons of God. What manner of love the Father hath commended toward us, in that we should be called the sons of God. That's what God thinks of you this morning. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're his son. And then I want you to see Psalm 100, 1 through 5. We are his sheep. I like the fact that he calls us sheep. Sheep are probably the dumbest animal on the farm. They do not know how to take care of themselves at all. They are defenseless. They make all kinds of mistakes. They constantly need a keeper. And so the Lord picked that, I believe, for a reason. You know, if he had said we were dogs, that would have been, dogs are smarter. You know, you can train a dog. I don't think you could train a sheep if you spent your whole life trying to train a sheep. God calls us sheep. Now look what he says. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You see, because God does not call for any help in taking care of us, we can enter into His courts with singing. We can be joyful. We don't have to be afraid. Because God says, "You're my sheep. I'm going to take care of you." David was a shepherd. Before he went to fight with Goliath, Saul told him, this guy is, he's a warrior and he's really big. You're just a kid. What makes you think you can go fight with this giant?" David said, "I used to keep my father's sheep. And a bear came, took one of my little sheep. And he said, and I killed that bear. And I got my sheep back." He said, "Then a lion came and took one of my little lambs, and I killed the lion, and I took the lamb back." Now, God represents Himself many times in Scripture as Jesus as David's son. He said that David was a man after His own heart. And God puts these Psalms in here for us not to look at David, but to look at Him. And He wants us to understand, yes, trouble may come. Trouble may affect you. But you have a shepherd who is going to retrieve you and bring you home. And folks, I believe the greatest testimony that we can be to a lost and dying world is to be content and to trust our God so as to eliminate fear. And whenever the fear is gone, then love will flow through us to others. When we're afraid, it just kind of jams that up. Perfect love casts out fear. Those two things can't coexist. And so God wants us to live by faith and not by fear, so that His love will flow through us to others. And we can invite others to come to Jesus. You see, Jesus wants to save all of us. All those people that are out in the world that are struggling, that are sinning, that are living horrible lives, Jesus loves them. And Jesus wants to save them. And He tells us, you go and you tell those that are out there that I love them, that I died for them, and I want to save them. You say, well, I don't think they can change the way they live their lives. They can't. But Jesus wants to save them anyway. Can you change the way you are? No. But Jesus loves you. The gospel message is simply to come to Jesus. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And all sinners are welcome. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. And let me tell you how simple it is to be saved. Whenever you recognize that what Jesus did on the cross was enough for you, and you put your trust in what He did, His blood will take away all of your sins. See, when He was on the cross, God the Father put all the sins of all mankind on Jesus. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And when God poured out His wrath on Jesus, it was for my sin and yours and for the sins of all mankind. And whenever He had completely paid the sin debt, He said, it's paid in full. From that point forward, salvation was a free gift to anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord. Because He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And His command to us is to tell the world, whosoever will, drink the water of life freely. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for what you have done in my life and in the lives of all those that have called upon your name. Lord, thank you that there is nothing to fear but fear itself.